go. We just had to let it go. Whoa. Check this out. We'll go there first. And, yeah, Mahalo's Dove for helping us get the transition happening. And DJ Shoots, Els Bells on the way out. Mahalo's for holding down the fort. I was a little late in getting here today. I'm joined in the booth by volunteer Dan. He'll be joining us here on the air. It's a open show format. We've got, if you will, a mixed plate action happening. Folks calling in about the GMO moratorium on Maui. Hopefully we'll get an update. Lauren Rago from Maui has in the past provided us with information from the court, and she might be continuing to play that role of court reporter, participating with the Babes Against Biotech and the issues there. For listeners who aren't too ma'at to what's happening over there, the voters of Maui chose by a very slim margin to put a ban, if you will, a short-term moratorium on GMO kind of activities, and they were taken to court, and the county has decided not to pursue enforcing the, if you will, decision of the people to put a moratorium, just put a halt on GMO activities. So that's hopefully on the radar screen for today's show, as well as some action in our local county council. Yesterday there was a item on the agenda to consider looking at the alternative to our current structure of county government. We have a strong mayor, as they call it. Bernard Carvalho Jr. is a strong mayor, as was his predecessor, Kaipo Asing, and Kaipo's predecessor, Brian J. Baptiste. That's the model that we have, where the mayor makes the decisions. The administration is then tasked to kind of take care of the needs of the people, and the council selects and elects to fund the administration's choice. So the administration puts out the budget, the council reviews it, and they just finished with that earlier in the season. So we will have a short discussion on that, hopefully. And then whatever you, the listener, is interested in talking about, I've got some things that are on the forefront of a lot of folks' mind these days. One of them is, who are you going to support in the upcoming presidential election? Yep, it's a little ways away, but we got to be thinking about it, and it's a long, long process to choose our next president. We know that President Barack Obama will be moving on. I'm not sure what he'll be doing. Maybe his wife will be getting into politics, maybe not. But we do have the wife of a former president and a former senator. She was also involved in the administration of Barack Obama as a Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. She is, if you will, a front runner because of name and all that kind of stuff. We have Bernie Sanders, from independent from Vermont, I believe, is thrown his name in the hat for the Democratic side. And on the Republican ticket, a number of candidates have stepped up. So we'll take your calls. We'll see what you've got. This is your community radio station. I'm Jimmy Trujillo, the host of this Out of the Box special. And the phone number is 826-7771. We will have a phone call here very shortly. See if we got that on. Aloha caller, are you on the air? Let's see, did we make that transition?
Hello?
Hello, you're there.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing good today. How are you?
I'm good.
And you can hear me fine?
I fell on my bike and I got a huge bruise on my shin.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
It's all swollen, but it's like, I mean, it's a contusion, right?
Yeah, and you better, you know, put a little rice on that. You know what they say about that? Rice is good. Little.
It's like this acupuncture treatment. It's funny, if I take my mind off of it, it's like, you know, I'm balanced.
Hey, good for you. If you don't mind, it don't matter.
It could have been worse. That's all I know.
Were you wearing a helmet?
No. You know, the Hillary Clinton voted for the Iraq War, and she likes to say that she's sorry now. But, you know, what if you do some crime or do some terrible thing?
Right.
And then you just go, well, I'm sorry. And you go, well, what else do you have to offer? You know, apologies can mean a lot, but look at what may look what started with the Iraq War. It was just like a plunder. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to say was they're having like these war games up in the Gulf of Alaska that a lot of Native people and people, environmentalists, are really pissed off about now. Because it's right in the migratory route of all the salmon and whales. It's the prime season for the migratory routes where in this pristine Arctic, it's just coincidental that the oil, Shell Oil has pulled out of Seattle, Washington, is heading up to probe for oil in the Arctic now that the ice caps are melting. It was big, it's big news. It's another huge rim pack in this pristine area. A lot of Native Alaskan people are really upset about it, and I don't blame them. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say, and have a nice day.
Well, right on. Thank you. Have a nice day, and hope your recuperation and you're back on your feet goes very well, very quickly. Yeah, it is very unfortunate that oftentimes the military seems to trump just about everything else. Whether it's in the name of national security or it's for our economic interests, the military has quite a bit of might, but does it have quite a bit of right? We shall find out more as we discover that. I also want to play this because I should. It's that time of day when we don't want to get too far in front of us.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Right on. Thank you, Don, for that. Yep, the views and opinions are just that, views and opinions, and don't really reflect that of management or the board. All right, do we have another phone call? Right on. Thank you, Dan, for that. Doing a great job on the phones. Aloha, caller. How can we help you?
Aloha.
Aloha.
I was really inspired to hear that there's stuff going on Maui, and that the GMO guys are getting clear signals that the jig is up here in, you know, here, which I don't even really consider the United States, but in this part of the globe, because I know that the European fight against GMOs was pretty succinct. Like, at one point, you know, it was not cool to be GMO once they realized they had snuck it into everything behind their backs. And they called it a scandal when they found out the universities were bought out by the GMO company that was, you know, behind all of it. And they were like, hell no, we don't want GMO. And then all the stores were like, oh, well, we're not going to carry that then. It was just like this thing that happened over there. But because the media has done in a, you know, egregious disservice to mankind, and they're not covering that, you know, on the large, like Fox and CNN and all the clowns out there, because there's been such a cap on the information coming out here, it's been like nobody knows that like somewhere else on this planet they were like, what? No. And it stopped being in the stores. So that's one thing I want to say, that I feel so inspired to know that this is actually happening. I felt a little teeny bit hopeless for a second there when I realized how big they are and how small sometimes we feel, and we're all busy making money so we can pay our rent, and we don't have time to go to these meetings. And when I heard you talking about the meeting, I was like, amen, because I can't go down there. So when I hear what's going on, I feel in the know. I feel like I can add to the poulet of creating that, and because I've figured out that you have to just focus on what you want. You can't focus on too much about, you have to wake people up if they're asleep, but, you know, we got to focus on what we want. And what we want is, like, you know, for the truth to come out.
And when do we want it?
Now,
there
yesterday.
You go.
You know, and for us all to do our magic, like, I write songs that say, please, GMOs, go away. And that feels really good to me to hear that that's actually, I feel like it's a prayer I send out. Every time I write that song, I play that song, it's out there. And I feel like it's working, and I feel so inspired to be the unique, you know, blueprint of this soul, which is called Brandy. I just feel so stoked that people are getting this, and that me, by me being the unique, you know, imprint of my God self, it's like everyone's doing that at the same time, it feels like now. We're all waking up and changing our lives because we're realizing this is it, man. This is my one chance to do what I'm supposed to be doing on this planet. And we're all waking up. And for us to all do that unique thing is how this is all happening. So thank you for this miracle. Thank you for being on the radio. KKCR is amazing. It's such a special station. I love all the music. I love all the I'm sorry, I love all the ballsy, you know, talk shows where we can actually say how we feel, and we can actually have politicians and kind of ask, you know, the Carvalhos of the world, hey, what's going on here, buddy? Like, who, how are you still here? Because we're all going, what's going on, you know? And damn right we need a new system, and, like, we need the truth to be told about this island and the islands and how much, you know, how this greed factory is, like, we're done with this. This is, like, the 1,000 years of peace is upon us, and it's important for us to all just be inspired. So I will go, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Wonderful call. Loved your enthusiasm. Phone lines are open, 826-7771. We have another caller. Keep them coming, because this is a talk show, and you're on the air.
Hi, Jimmy. It's Gabriella.
Aloha, Gabriella. How are you?
Great.
Right on. Thank you for calling us, and you wanted to talk a little bit about the development going on, or planned, proposed development. Tell listeners what's happening.
Okay, so this is happening near the middle school. Behind the middle school in Kapa'a, it's called Hokua Place. It's a development that would have something a little bit less than 800 houses.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure factoring that with two adults each having a car at least.
At least.
Maybe a teenager even having another
right.
one. 1,600 cars pouring down into Kapa'a or onto the bypass, because one of the they're proposing to put a road that connects to the bypass
mm-hmm.
and Olahana Road. But anyway, you know, it's not really are you for or against the development. It's the connection that they need to have the land, the 97 acres, upzoned from agricultural to urban before they can do that. So that's what this is about.
And so there's a opportunity for community to share concerns with the, is it the Land Use Commission?
Yeah, well, the Land Use Commission is the one that makes the final, you know, judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But the different departments, state and county departments, will give their views, and it will be then up to the Land Use Commission in Honolulu to actually decide whether this is going to happen or not. But they also have our testimony, our comments
mm-hmm.
to look at, and hopefully they do look at them.
And that comment period is still happening, but it's going to be coming to a close soon, correct?
Yes, on the 22nd, Monday.
22nd, that's
so
right.
Last
first day of summer.
Really? That's right. I forgot about that. So, so you can email in, and you can email your comments.
Mm-hmm.
I can give the information where to mail to. But
sure, please
say
do.
A couple of things about this?
Yeah.
Okay, so what most people notice, of course, is the traffic, and the traffic is bad in Kapa'a now. I think it has something to do with visitors coming back because of the recession being theoretically over now compared to, like, even a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been, like, this amazing entourage of cars coming through Kapa'a, and people here in Kapa'a as well as the North Shore, because you have to pass through to go to the airport or wherever, are getting pretty disgusted about this. And we can't even imagine having another 1,600 cars pouring into this without additional roads. So that's what I'm focusing on. You could also focus on the water. You could look at sewage that's going to be impacted, the landfill. You know, there are other infrastructure that need to be addressed also, but the traffic is the most obvious. And I would say that the one thing that I've written in is that the state and the county departments must require updated traffic data collecting, because all of the information they have now is 3 years old for these different intersections, when it was much different, the numbers were much different then.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be coming on to the highway from the bypass down, or it would be any of those roads going off Olahana Road, where there's, you know, already some problems. So there are a lot of intersections that need to have an updated traffic studies done.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the population growth for residents and visitors during the next 20 years needs to be considered. And, you know, there are going to be 3 new hotels in that Wailua corridor that have already been approved. The Cocoa Palms and 2 behind Long's Drugstore.
Right.
That's going to add a huge, huge number of cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, let's look back. I mean, do you know if the county or the state has done any of this type of studies? Do we have an idea what our projection is for visitor days, or whatever they use the term to describe how many folks are on island in the year 2025?
Yeah, they've done that, and I don't have those figures in front of me. But what I do know is that Kauai is the most popular destination percentage-wise of increase in visitors over the past year compared to the other islands.
Right. So
this is a hot spot. And this kind of congestion is going to ruin it for those of us that live here, as well as visitors who come because it's a more relaxed place and more of a rural lifestyle, which they love. Not so the beaches aren't crowded like they are on Oahu or Maui.
Right.
So it would affect many people, and there are no specific road plans written down by the state DOT, Department of Transportation, in their new 2035 transportation plan. They have nothing written. They have things written in about other places on the island that they're going to build roads, but nothing that would affect this. Although the developers keep saying that they're going to be doing it, but there's no proof of it. This new study just came out, the transportation plan from the DOT, and it has no mention of that. And I've talked to many people in government. Actually, I've been calling different offices, and, you know, I get the idea that you really can't count on the state to do this. They don't have the money. They don't have, you know, the governor came over the other day. There was an article in the newspaper and said that the biggest problem is the Department of Transportation as far as being backlogged. So it's not just Kauai, it's backlogged. It's the other islands, too.
And now, Gabriella, the name of this development is called what again?
Hokua Place. And I can give people the contact information for emails, okay? So are we ready, everybody, with their pen? It's going to go to 2 places. One of them is the developer, and the other, that's the crucial one, but also send it to the Land Use Commission because they're the ones that are going to make the decision. But the developer is supposed to respond to these comments that we make now.
Mm-hmm.
This is a draft EIS. It's called DEIS that we're writing about. And we're writing about the upzoning that will occur to create urban development from agricultural development. So I'm obviously against that. And this is where I wrote. Okay, ready? LUC, this is an email address, dbedt.hawaii.gov.
Okay, one more time.
luc@dbedt.hawaii.gov.
Okay, so that's luc@dbedt.hawaii.gov, and that should have something about the draft EIS for Hokua Place?
No, it's luc@dbedt.
Right, but in the subject line should say something about the draft EIS and Hokua Place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there, you said there was also...
Say the address again.
luc@dbedt.hawaii.gov.
Oh, very good. Okay, now we've got the developer's one.
This okay.
is really crucial. info at, and now I'm going to spell this long name, hookulana.com.
So that's, was that Hokulea?
Yeah.
Hokulea.
Hokuleana. It's Hokuleana.
Hokuleana. Okay. .com.
Mm-hmm.
So info@hokulaeana.com, HOOKULEANA.com.
Very good.
Okay, and those should be in by, when's, you said Monday the 22nd?
Yes, they have to be emailed off by Monday the 22nd.
So folks have all weekend long to prepare their statements,
right,
and get it in there by Sunday night.
And if you wanted to see the DEIS document, you could go to the library either in Kapa'aluhui or the Kauai Community College.
Mm-hmm.
To read it, but it's 400 pages, believe me. I've been through the whole thing.
Right, and the library at KCC, I think, is closed this summer. They're doing renovations. So
oh, really?
I don't think that would be a good resource.
And I think Kapa'a is closed on the weekends. I don't know about Lihue.
Yeah, it
anyway.
Is. Yeah, I think there's, I don't know if there's any libraries open on weekends.
Really?
Maybe the Princeville one, but yeah. And that was for the draft EIS.
Yes.
And that's specific for the developers who want to change, or like you said, upzone from agriculture to urban.
That's right.
So they can increase the density and be able to have how many houses or how many lots are we talking about again?
It's something like it's close to 800. It's a little bit less than 800. And some of the houses are apartments, you know, they're hooked together, and other ones are on single lots.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else about it? Oh, it's going to have a store. There's an urban area there, which will, of course, create even more traffic. And one end of it comes out on the bypass, and the other end of their road. They're going to put in a road going across. The other end is on Olaheinu.
Mm-hmm.
Olaheinu Road.
And so this, you know, one of several developments that is going on, but this one seems to be in a place where already the traffic infrastructure is inadequate to add more to that, if you will, antiquated or inappropriate infrastructure, just seems pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to affect our lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's I guess you'd call it the Maoiization or the Honoluluization of the urbanization of Kauai, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
and there are better places. There must be some other places near Lihue that could do this that has more facilities for it and better roads and everything.
Right, I mean, they just completed a very large and wide road upgrade there. I'm sure Grow Farm has some properties that they would love to see better utilized than what they've currently got going on. Yeah, it makes sense that maybe there's a better place to locate this. You're not saying that you're against the houses that are going to be built or the facts that local families might be able to own their own piece of the rock, but that currently where it's at, it's just not the most appropriate size or use of that resource.
Right. The infrastructure isn't up to it. That's like adding another house lot or what else. I don't know. It's hard to say how many houses are in the house lots,
right.
But I would say it's probably bigger. 800 houses is probably bigger than the house
mm-hmm.
lots. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's adding a huge population to a congested area, basically, is what we're saying at this point.
So if folks are interested in submitting their testimony, they should do that by Monday the 22nd of
yeah,
June.
Yeah, and can I add one more thing?
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
To be specific, talk about times when you got stuck in traffic, if you're going to talk about that, you know, or certain intersections, be specific that, you know, this is happening, or I had to crawl. It took me, you know, an hour to get from the Wailua River to the end of Kapa'a. So, you know, those kinds of things. What day did that happen, and what time did it happen, and, you know, things that, if you can be more specific, rather than just saying there's too much traffic and now and we don't want any more. That isn't good enough. You've really got to try to focus in. Okay?
Well, thank you, Gabriella, for taking time out to talk with us and to let folks know that they can send their testimony still to luc@dbedt.hawaii.gov and also include folks at the developers. That's info@hokuleaana. That's HOOKULEANA.com and let them know of your concerns about this proposed development.
Thank you for letting me talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling us, Gabriella.
And everybody, go for it. We want to keep our wonderful lifestyle here on Kauai. So just everybody can pitch in and help. It's going to make a difference.
There we go. Appreciate that. Aloha, and thanks for calling in. We have one more caller. But before we go there, I just want to let you, the listener, know that you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A Kilauea. That's where we at? K224CQ in Anohola and K284AL in Hala'iwa. That's 90.9 FM Hanalei, 91.9 FM Islandwide, 92.7 in Anohola and Molua'a area, 104.7 FM on Oahu, and 95.1 on the cable dial. Yep, streaming worldwide at www.kkcr.org. I'm Laura Christine. This is the Out of the Box show. We've got a phone call coming on up. I'll pull you up. All right. Caller, are you still there?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you for being patient. What would you like to share with us?
Oh, the guy's comment about the Gulf of Alaska we just heard last night on Clyde, Ground Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And we hadn't even heard about it. It sounds even so much worse. They called it warfare. They called it some kind of a electron. I wrote it down. I don't remember what the name of it was, but it was just like he was saying. The guy was saying, all the whales are going up there right now. They're talking about everything. Sam.
Right.
And then he was saying even that when he lives in Seattle, that he wanted some halibut, Pacific halibut. They don't serve it anymore because it's too contaminated from the stuff from Japan and all the stuff that's going on, that they get the halibut from the Atlantic, and they don't even serve it now there in Seattle.
Wow.
And it's like, if anybody follows the jet stream and the weather or surfs, they would notice that we're getting the jet streams. We don't have the high pressure in the middle of the Pacific Ocean like we should have. We got lows going across there in the jet stream. It should be way up in the north.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right in the middle. It was causing, they're changing the jet stream. And the El Nino is not really, you know, they don't really know. If you come off of Central America or Mexico, it's hot right there. But last year and the first two this year, they're turning around and headed back towards the continent over there. Once you get out further, the water's cold. So a lot of the stuff about an El Nino and stuff probably won't pan out. We'll probably be okay here with that. But the rest of the stuff that's going on is really, it's not even just the USA that's doing it. It's such a bigger scale that, you know, who knows who's doing it and what their main agenda is.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's really like, you know, like the atmospheric geoengineering. They were on last week, I think, on George Neher talking about they made a new movie that's just come out that was passing the other one up. Why in the world are they spraying us, or what in the world are they spraying us?
Right.
So they have a new movie, and they're on for 2 hours. These night shows are usually like 7 to 10 on your AM radio, and the people would just turn into either Ground Zero or George Neher, which used to be the Art Bell, or 690 in the politics with
mm-hmm.
Mark Levin. And you can flip around those and pick up information that you, with people calling in from all over the place.
Well, thanks for sharing your mana'o on that. Yeah, we have our RIMPAC every other year, and it sounded like whether it was the Navy or a joint military effort in the Gulf of Alaska was going to have similar types of impacts for the native fishery up there, for the environment, and for what, you know, is a big industry. The salmon fleet there is probably the largest fishery that's still intact and still pretty healthy, considering that elsewhere in the world the fisheries have been collapsing and the industries have followed suit.
Yeah, quite interesting. I'm not quite sure about, you know, the big global thing, you know, it's almost like it's biblical with the way they're playing with things and what's happening in the USA.
Let's...
I think the people are going to be moving here, not just the tourists. So I've been here for 30 years and stayed away from Maui finally just a few years ago. We've been over for Halloween, but in 69 they said it was too commercialized on Maui. But this one's Kauai's round. So it's not just the tourists and the hotels. There's a lot of people that have moved here in the last 5 to 10 years.
That's
and
right.
There's going to be a lot more coming. That's what happens in the mainland, or whatever you want to call it, mad land, crazy land, insane land. They're going to be coming here. You know, it's the word's out. It's not like the 90s after an ET and there was nobody here and before that even.
So, right.
The people are coming even without the hotels and stuff. You know, it's that's why the tourists are here. They're not going to Africa or you know, Egypt, Middle East, even Europe's kind of in effect. They're not going to Mexico, that's for sure. I hear Baja's even dangerous now from people that have lived there. So the tourists are going to come, you know, and the people are going to move here too. So I don't think it's just going to get crowded, and it's still the best place to live. It's the Garden Island of Paradise, but, you know, no crime. They don't even rob liquor stores here. Policemen smile at you, and surfers go to church. So you're just going to have to get around the traffic, you know, go at a certain times like they do in West Coast, the big cities, or else they don't even go to the beach, even though they live in that beach town, I've heard stories. So, I mean, you know, it's still the best. So, you know, you just got to learn how to avoid it, you know, taking the alternates or this or that or the Kipu Road that goes all the way down around to the harbor, you know, whichever way you can. And but this other stuff, what they're doing is, like, you know, changing the jet stream and playing, you know, what did I say, warfare with the weather and the climate and underwater, too. Because it was like, I mean, it was about, 15 years ago when I had a whole school of mellethead whales come into Honolulu Bay, like 200 of them. And
right.
The Navy was pulling those exercises off.
Right.
And then, and they were dying. I mean, I swung out there, looked, and got within 10 feet of them and looked at them. And they sat there and looked at me, and they had their heads out of the water. They couldn't even get their heads under the water. If I got closer, like 5 feet, they would real slowly start to move away, so I didn't push it. It was just two of us, I think, that swam out to look to see how bad off they were. And then, so we'd stop, and they'd sit there. And then they brought some people over from Oahu and came over and said, well, we're going to take them out of the bay. They probably did that because they were probably all going to die. You know, and I was really disappointed that they chased them away. Because then the Navy escaped the big government, you know. That
right.
Same guys that are doing right now what they're doing up in Gulf Alaska.
That's it. That's
and
right.
It doesn't make any kind of sense at all, except some kind of control, maybe mind control, or it relates back to the Bible, you know. That's the only thing that really makes any sense.
Well,
I'm 70 next year, you know. I'm a surfer, a fisherman, came out of Southern California. And to me, if it's that insane, to me, it's got to be really bad. You know,
I think you just hit it on the head. It's really bad. Thank you for calling. I've got another caller right behind you.
All the doomsday gloom and doom, but
yeah.
We got a good ending, too, though.
There we go. Well, we got to have hope. We got to have faith. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, thanks.
Aloha.
Aloha.
There we go. One more caller right after you. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Jimmy, is Ken Taylor calling.
Aloha, Ken. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Right on.
I was listening to Gabriella's discussion with you on that housing project.
Right.
One of the things that I've looked into and is going back to 1973 when the Kapaha Wailua development plan was put in place. It laid out a bypass road along with the development that was being recommended for our area. Then you look up at the 2000 general plan. Again, the development is laid out, and the bypass road is talked about, and recommended that something be done. And then in 1997, the Kauai Long Range Land Transportation Plan was done, which laid out a bypass road. So what we've ended up with is all the development, but none of the infrastructure to handle the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And so my feeling at this point in time, and what I will be recommending to the Land Use Commission, is that no zone change on this property until we get the infrastructure built. But, you know, it's like being in a hole. You dig yourself into a hole. If you keep digging, you just make the problem worse. And so at some point in time, you got to stop digging, and you've got to go back and resolve the problem
mm-hmm.
before you keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at all of the development that's already been approved, there's Coca Palms and those two large
hotels,
condo projects
right.
there behind the new Longs. There's 800 units between those three projects that are going to be coming online. Those are already approved. You've got just across the river, you've got Hawaiian Homelands with a plan for 700 units of housing on the Malka side of the highway. And you got Princeville talking about 3,000 units of housing. That seems, well, those people come into Lihue frequently, and so you have to take a look at the impacts from that.
Right.
And then between 580, the road that goes up alongside
Kuamo'u.
Yeah. From between between there and Kauai Hau, and the back end, on the back side, there's approximately 4,000 buildable units back there that don't have to have any zoning change, and property owners could go in and get development permits anytime they feel like it. And so when you take all of the cumulative projects that are out there that could really just bring traffic to a standstill, it only seems logical, at least in my mind, and I know government doesn't always work logically, but
no, it doesn't.
But it seems that we're just going to have to say no more development, especially here in the west and north side, until we can get the infrastructure in place.
And that doesn't seem unreasonable, right, to have a moratorium on development until we have, you know, our mm-hmm. if we have it all together.
I mean, if this thing had just happened, maybe you could say, well, we'll work it out. But I've got three documents that I just mentioned that go back to 1973, and I'm sure it was laid out even before that. And so we've been putting it off for, 45 years
mm-hmm.
that we haven't bothered to take care of the infrastructure.
Right.
And, we can't keep going down that road. It's got to be resolved.
It's got to be resolved. Right? I mean, there's just only so much we can take.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share.
Well,
and,
thank you.
Hope some folks will get behind and write a little note saying no more development until we get the infrastructure in place.
Right, and specifically for that Hokua place in the draft
mm-hmm.
EIS, just to say no, not in support of the rezoning from ag to urban.
That's right.
That's right.
That's the most important thing, because, I mean, even under the ag zoning, they have a potential of buildings getting ag subdivision something like 97 units or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they want to go down that path, so be it. But if they're any concern at all with the community, they would say, yeah, we'll hang it up and we'll get work at helping everybody get the infrastructure in place, and then we'll be back. And that would be a good neighbor thing to do.
Right.
But since the big money now behind this project, I think, is coming out of the Midwest, Illinois or somewhere back there, they probably don't care what goes on out here. It's just a place to park money and make money.
Right. We're an outpost on the fringe of the empire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Well, Ken, thank you so much for sharing. We've got a phone call right behind you. But,
well, keep up the good work, and I love your program.
Well, thanks, Ken.
Thanks.
Mahalo.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Aloha. Right on. One more call. Nope. We're done then. Well, the phone lines are open then now for you to join us, 826-7771. For that, I've got to play a couple of my top of the hour guys, just so that you know, this Out of the Box program is made possible by the good folks at Hawaii Life and Tahiti Nui.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Oh, mahalos for supporting Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. Our underwriters are our folks in the business that support Kauai Community Radio, and I encourage you strongly to support them when and if you have the chance. Dan, on the mic, you had a comment from one of our, I guess you're on mic three. We're going to try to, how's that, Dan?
Great.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, so what was the comment one of the callers wanted to share?
Yeah, I'd like to share the comment. The guy behind Mr. The caller behind Mr. Taylor's, he was commenting about the geoengineering. There's an interesting gentleman by the name of Dane Wigington who follows this. He's up in California, and he does a great job documenting the NOAA satellite tracking. And NOAA, where they get their information from, is actually Raytheon, which is actually a defense contractor. So he demonstrates, the California drought. Everybody's talking about the California drought, the water shortage. You can now buy your water from Nestle, by the way.
They'll sell it to you.
They will sell it to you, indeed. And if you go on YouTube and do a little digging, he does a great 30-minute presentation where he actually does screen captures of the NOAA satellite imagery, showing that indeed he makes the case very strongly, at least, that the jet stream is indeed being manipulated. Now, for what reason, we can speculate all day, but he does make a very strong case that weather modification is being used to create artificial drought. The claim on, well, it's the unofficial claim is that it's to prevent global warming, but when you put that many metals into the atmosphere, it's actually going to trap heat within. So they're able to steer rain to other areas, which takes rain and natural weather from places that usually get it. So I'd encourage you to check out Dane Wigington. He's got a website. And,
is that Dane or Dan?
Dane. Danewiggington.
Right on. Well, thanks for sharing that comment. And thank you, caller, for sharing your mana'o. If you don't want to go on the air, that's fine. But if you want to go on the air, give us a call at 826-7771. If you're off island, you'd like to share 866-275-1112. We do have a caller ready to go on the air.
We do indeed.
Yeah, here we go. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for joining us on Out of the Box.
Thank you. So let's talk about our beautiful little island and all the people that are here that are struggling already with no housing. Are those 800 houses up in the Wailua Homestead going to be low-income houses? probably not, right?
Right.
So what we're doing is we are allowing desecration of our green belts that are left on this island, and they're disappearing fast, to allow for 800 new luxury homes, and you know that's what they're going to call them, to invite more foreign investors to come and take more of our land and put up luxury homes and bring their cars with them, rather than building places for folks that are struggling so hard already. It's just, we need to go to our council people and whomever it is that makes a difference on our very small island to stop it. We can't take it anymore. We really can't. I mean, okay, here's a couple statistics that I've heard recently. Don't know where they came from. Every single day on this island, between 2 and 10 people move here from the crazy land. Another statistic is within the next 10 years here on Kauai, the population will increase somewhere around 30,000 people. How's that? So we need to stop it. We don't have the infrastructure. We have the homelessness and the needy people on this island that need it way more than those luxury folks do. Let them go somewhere else, but let's put the big stop sign up for this craziness. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to get to the beach. You guys have a great afternoon.
Well, thank you for sharing your mana'a with us, and I think other people share that as well. Do we have another caller? So we're good. Dan, thank you for taking those phone calls. We are at 5:20, and we have about 40 minutes left of this out-of-the-box show, a call-in show, a community affairs program, one of several that KKCR offers you, the listener. And mahalo for being part of our listening audience. It is a free forum. We've got some folks calling in, hopefully someone from Maui, to give us an update on the hearing that occurred on Monday. And we did have Lauren Rego from Maui, from Babes Against Biotech, doing some court reporting. So hopefully we might hear from her or a member of Shaka, which is the group that is representing the people who on Maui decided and chose to put a moratorium on genetically modified organisms and the agricultural technology that allows that to happen, just to just put a halt on things and hopefully get a handle on the potential impacts and the harms that might be present due to the use of pesticides or the other impacts that this technology is having on society these days. So 826-7771 is the phone number for you to talk story with us. If you're off island, it's 866-275-1112. I'm going to play a council report here, and we'll get back to the conversation live in a couple minutes.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of June 15th. There will be a regular council meeting on Wednesday, June 17th at 9 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the agenda. The county engineer transmits for council consideration resolution 2015-46, establishing a maximum speed limit of 30 miles per hour and 40 miles per hour along Ala Kalanakamaka in the Kalola District. The mayor transmits for council consideration and confirmation the following appointees to the various boards and commissions for the county. These are also under resolutions 2015-47 and 48. For the Charter Review Commission, Marilee Ako with a term ending the 31st of December 2017. For the Fire Commission, Michael T. Martinez, term ending 12/31/2016. The Council Vice Chair transmits for consideration Draft Bill 2590, a proposal to amend the County Code by repealing Article 25 of Chapter 22, entitled Barking Dogs. This is under bills for the first reading as well. The Mayor requests agenda time for representatives from Smith, Dawson, and Andrews, Incorporated, to provide the Council with a recap of the services and activities provided to the County during the past year as part of their professional services contract as the County's Washington, D.C. consultants. The Chief of Police requests approval to purchase the Officer Safety Package from Taser International in the amount of $51,608.42. From the Kauai Police Department asset forfeiture account, the package includes 105 body cameras, taser weapons, and accessories. The Boards and Commissions Administrator requests approval to spend $2,000 from the Hawaii State Commission on the Status of Women to support the county's Committee on the Status of Women and their ongoing advocacy and works towards equality for women and girls. Councilmember Chalk requests agenda time to discuss the formation of a subcommittee to research and analyze the costs and benefits of a county manager council form of government and to compare it with costs and benefits of a mayor council form of government. Council Chair Raposo requests consideration for the public release of the county attorney opinion related to Bill Number 2589, that's recovery of rescue expenses, and the county attorney's opinion dated May 27, 2015. Under committee reports, the Committee of the Whole has approved as amended Bill 2588 related to approving a bargaining unit agreement for Units 2, 3, and 4. This is also under bills for the second reading. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
Mahalo, John Gordon, for that report. And our county council met yesterday on the agenda, I think at the approval of Chair Raposo, but on the initiative from Councilmember Mason Chalk, a discussion to consider having a county manager, which is a bit of a shift from our current administrative setup. And the county manager would be somebody who had the skills and background and training and education to be able to be a chief executive of the council and the administration, to be able to attend to county matters, not be an elected position, but one that is, if you will, selected because of their skill sets. But we do have a phone call. We're going to bring this person right on up. Aloha, caller, you are on the air.
It just seems real apparent to me with the callers and the subjects that now more than ever we need Hawaiians in charge. We need sovereignty. We need the local governments and stuff just ain't working.
Mm-hmm. And give us a couple examples of that.
I'm not going to give any examples. I'm just stating that we need Hawaiian lands in Hawaiian hands.
Okay. I think there's many people in our listening audience that would agree with you. And I guess my question to you was, what example do you have of our local governments not working? And it's fair you don't want to answer that. But I just think that there is a number of episodes or examples where, yeah, it sure seems like there's some disconnects and things aren't really working to the benefit of the local people.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. And so your statement that if we were to, if you will, reinstate the Hawaiian nation, maybe we'd be better off.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks
Thank
for
you.
Sharing your mana'o with us, and okay. No argument here.
Aloha.
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 There we go. Another caller, or are we good? Right on, Dan. We'll bring you back up. So, Dan, thanks for joining me. I usually am joined on a Thursday afternoon with Tim Kalai, who's out on special assignment. What brings you into the booth today?
Well, the excitement of live radio.
There we go. And today's your first day volunteering, and wow, you get to sit in and answer phones and talk story on the radio. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what attracted you to Kauai Community Radio.
Well, I'm born and raised on Kauai, on the South Shore,
mm-hmm.
and I've always believed in community. Just like the caller just kind of alluded to, government tends not to be effective. Government tends to be unaccountable. There's mm-hmm. no accountability in government. An example he may have cited would be to refer to the county council approving the GMO bill
mm-hmm.
and the mayor overriding the bill. So Kauai Community Radio has been a bastion of free opinion, free thought, and I just thought it would be great to come up here, see what it's all about, and volunteer. And day one, I find myself in the hot seat. I like it.
There you go. Well, it's one of the things that we encourage you, the listeners, and community members to get involved. We certainly appreciate your financial support, but, you know, it's a station that is run on very few resources. We only have 3 paid professionals part of this radio station, and the other 100-plus folks involved are all volunteers. So mahalo's for volunteering, Dan. And for you, the listener, you know, the door is open. I think there's a number of us in the public affairs program that welcome voices from our community to come in, be part of our public affairs ohana, and participating in our talk shows, as well as, you know, if talk show isn't where it's at for you and you like music, you know, you can join the ranks of the Garden Island Bluegrass Show and get a chance to be a part of Mob Radio. You can join DJ Shoots and Els Bells. There's a number of music radio programs that are available, but specifically here on Out of the Box and on Kauai Soapbox, we appreciate folks coming in and sharing their mana'o. Just like you, the listener and caller right now, you are live on the air and Out of the Box. Thank you for calling. Uh-oh, did I drop you? Uh-oh, maybe not. Anybody home? Hello. Try another button. How about now? Are you there?
Hello.
Hey,
yeah.
We got you now.
Hey, aloha, my kaku.
Aloha. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on.
There is.
With just more than just what's happening with Hawaii, but all over the world.
Mm.
And lots of things need to change, and I feel like the people have the power to do that.
Thank you.
Right now, there's only, 1% of the world controlling 99%, right?
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous when you think about that. So I feel like, and this is why this radio station is so important, is because we can communicate with each other. We can say our thoughts, and we listen to each other, and that's what we need to do. And I feel like we can stop a lot of what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
If we can all just come together, but it's not going to happen until we do that. And what, you know, I don't know what it's going to take for everybody to come together, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take something.
It's going to take something, but everybody's just kind of waiting for something to happen. And we all know that the government is just kind of not doing it. It's not cutting it, you know? And we all know something needs to happen. You know, do we need to just stop paying gas?
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to stop going supporting different stores like Walmart and Burger King and McDonald's? Do we need to just stop supporting all that so we can actually take control of what's happening? You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. No, and I think that's one of the things that folks are doing more of, is that's taking action. That they're kind of, you know, thinking things through, they're becoming more aware, and they're voting with their dollars. They're patronizing the places where they would like to support. I think a good example is the
right.
growth in organic agriculture. That folks are like, wow, I didn't realize that GMO was so pervasive, or I didn't know that there was potential harms with that. And
yeah, it is shifting. People are getting
mm-hmm.
more aware.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, as soon as we figure something out, somebody else is already developing the whole other side of the island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just nonstop. But I got to go. My baby's crying.
Hey, thank you for calling, brother. Aloha. And we got another phone call right on the bat coming up to you live on Out of the Box. Thank you for joining us.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, I'm born and raised Kapani, so I get the solution from a brother over there that you should call.
Okay.
Education.
Education.
Here's how it works. I get kids too, and this is exactly what I'm doing. I'm teaching and learning the system at the same time.
Thank you.
Because obviously I didn't know it growing up.
Mm-hmm.
As I teach, I learn. And I educate my children so that they can be the leaders of the world while instilling the non-material mentality of the Hawaiian culture right? I mean, you want to bridge it, that's what you got to do. You got to do old methodologies. When one of the different methodologies is Western methodology is material. That's all what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have politicians that do make enough money to survive but aren't trying to get that next mansion or the Learjet or, you know, become one of the top 20 or...
Right.
Right. And so how do you do that? The solution is education and good family values. And even some of these guys that end up, they get corrupted by the system. How many have entered the system with good intentions and they become overwhelmed? So the other part is the numbers. You got to get a number of these minority geekies to be educated in civics, business, the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Just surfing, showing up at the beach, right? Or smoking my kids. I see that on Kauai.
Sure.
You got all that? I see it all over the place. You cannot be on Grumbler and not partake in the problem solving of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
All of the county council meetings. Show up.
Right.
Right? And you know what's going to happen when you show up. Even if you don't speak, you're going to be informed. And then you can teach your kids.
Thank you.
It's
one of the key things.
Yeah.
And you're talking about role modeling, you're talking about engagement, you're talking about empowering your children by showing them examples of the good
That's
and the
right.
bad. You know, not sheltering them, not just coddling them, or you know, wishful thinking or just grumbling and doing nothing about it.
Yeah, and sometimes that has to take the position that even if you are an anti-GMO, have your kids debate the pro-GMO side.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you cannot just be one-sided, because if you don't understand the mentality of the other side, you're not going to win.
That's right.
And so I just say, you know, everybody talks about education, this, that, but it takes a lot of energy as a parent to engage in these activities. But even for self, for somebody that doesn't even have kids, might actually be harder for somebody that doesn't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, as a parent, I think that might be true. But, you know, there was a time I didn't have kids, and I'd be honest, I was less engaged then than I am now.
Right.
And so that's the solution right there. So if you are young and without kids, educate yourself. If you get cakeys, educate yourself and your kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, no, I appreciate that. I mean, you hit, you know, some critical things right there. Like you said, it's about education, but it's also the role that a parent plays in their child's life and models that, you know, for future generations, that this is how we are of service to our community. This is how we participate in our civic obligations, whether it's paying taxes or it's showing up for a protest or showing up for a hearing, voting. I mean, how many people don't even bother to vote?
Well, and that's the other thing. That, don't even get me started on that, because, you know, I myself am on the Liberals team, and I get upset with my own teammates when at the end of a discussion I ask them, are you even a registered voter? And they get 65 excuses why they're not.
Right.
Right? Hey. Oh, I cannot trust this, that, blah, 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 blah. Hey, look, Republicans show up. Liberals need to show up.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. There's nothing wrong with being critical of our teammates, but we also got to remember, hey, if we're on the same team, then we're going to be able to frame that criticism in a useful and helpful way. And brother, you shared a lot in regards to how we can do better.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, appreciate that.
Anyway,
I got a couple.
Have a good one.
You too. Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. Bye.
And on one more caller. Aloha. You are on the air with Dan and Jim.
Oh, Jim, yeah, this is John Cruzy. I was listening to the last comment.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Aloha, Uncle John, you're on.
Yeah. And then I thought to myself, you know what, when you said all the young people, I remember Mao Piailo telling us, you guys are too old, give me your children.
Mm.
And so all those years ago when this Hokulea and this more awareness of the taking care of the ocean, goes back to family values, where now you have the Hikianalia just sailed back to Hawaii, and they had the teacher, the mentor, Cat Fuller, and they had the three young guys. These three young wannabe navigators, I call them, they they weren't even born 40 years ago, but they're the kind of people that are, you know, take up a cause and they want to make a difference.
Right.
And so I hear Mao Pialo's voice said, yeah, you guys are too old when we first went 40 years ago. But now you have the children that weren't even born, and now they're the ones that are stepping up.
Right.
And these young people, they're more articulate. They are more concerned about the world that we brought them into.
Isn't it amazing to think about the next generation, about how worldly they are at their age, where, you know, we were, you know, and you're from another generation than I, but it just seems that our children are surpassing us, and that's a great thing. But how do we do that on a larger scale? What is going to be, like an earlier caller who said, what's it going to take for us to make those that shift?
Well, it goes back to, like you said, that first caller, education.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be aware of all these big box guys, corporations. Maybe it's not the corporations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you got to think outside of the box.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that comment. I was listening to it, and then the other day I saw the Hikianalia pulling in, and, you know, they saw the island on Saturday. They saw when the sun came up, and they could see Mauna Kea. But that Hikianalia has an electric motor in it. I thought, wow, they just turned on the motor because the experiment's over. It looks like because the wind was light, they made it all the way to the pier just to... You know, they came in yesterday, and I was thinking, wow, I applaud those guys.
For doing that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you trust your crewmates. You got all this knowledge with all of the elders teaching them this. And then also you have all your kupuna, your tupuna behind you, whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones pushing you, you know, so... You know the adage where they say, look to the past to go forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, look to the past.
Yeah. No, very wise words. And I appreciate you joining us for that. An update on Namahoa. You guys are getting closer and closer to getting in the water. I know that the solstice was potentially a date that you were going to maybe get the Namahoa, the traditional sailing canoe in the water. But I was talking to Marshall the other day, and it sounds like maybe that was a little too soon, and later on in the summer is more and more likely.
Yeah, we have some issues. We have some issues with, we have some safety issues that these got to be addressed, meaning we need a mooring, we need steering paddles, and we need the sails. We had these old Hokulea sails, and we were going to put them on, but then I thought to myself, we have worked so hard for all these years, and... to me, the Hawaiians say, you know, if you're going to put up these sails and you go in the water, they're going to put you in the water on this solstice, the thing kind of looks half-assed. And in the Hawaiian language, the word is called kapulu.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, wait till the sails come in, and that's what we are on this verge of. And so hopefully by the end of July, first week of August, all those forces will come together and Namahoa can touch the water.
There we go. And what a great day that will be. I know a lot of folks are looking forward to that. And it is. Some things you just can't rush.
Yeah, yeah. And so the June 20, I think 20th, 21st, that is off the table. And, you know, the Maui canoe guys, they called us and they said, hey, you know what? Mo'opina, we went five times and we didn't cut bait. We went five times and we had to cancel.
Uh-huh.
So... you go in the water when all of these issues are
resolved,
looked after and done over and got all the right players, and then you put it in the water. Yeah, and then I think that should be around the end of July, first week of August.
Well, that'll be a very big day for you, the folks
well,
that
the
have been
community,
involved.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The community, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess... we're all wearing duck glasses because we'll all be crying.
There we go. And again, anyway, back to the next generation will then be, you know, the folks, you know, that will then be able to transition out, and those will be able to transition in because of the work that you've done with future training and bringing people in like Kaimi and Jesse and others involved in it.
Exactly. Those are the, you know, building that canoe took all those years, but now I was telling Dennis, that was the easy part. The hard part is now, then the young guys take it over.
Mm-hmm.
They got to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Make it an educational floating classroom and use it as a great learning tool for life experiences. And also with that in mind, having the past, the elders, and getting all the information you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's good to talk to you.
Yeah,
I got to go now. Okay. I'm in traffic. I'm not supposed to be calling.
Aloha. Thank you for calling, Uncle John. So we have another call coming right in off the tails of that one. John Cruzy is one of the master builders for the Namahoy, which is our sailing canoe for Kauai. Aloha, caller, you are on the air.
Yeah, a few callers ago, it was spoken to about voting, and the person put it up there as a priority, mm-hmm. and almost, you know, if you don't vote, something's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, and I'm in my 60s, have been disenfranchised from doing so.
Sure.
Very much so, and I think sometimes that has to be respected, that they're disenfranchised, whether it be from Vietnam days, whether it be from, I did this, I did the right thing, and then look what happened politically, regardless of my vote. And that's kind of what I wanted to mention. And point number two, I mean, if you're a convicted felon, you can't vote sometimes.
It's true.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I realize and I respect voting, the privilege and the right of voting, but then again, it doesn't always work.
Sure, and I appreciate you sharing that perspective as well, because, you know, the disenfranchised and the folks that have, for whatever reasons, chosen to not participate at that level, I think the caller was suggesting that, you know, if you're going to grumble but you don't vote, you know, you're just grumbling. And
yeah.
I think what you're suggesting is that, you know, there's other reasons besides, you know, a dissatisfaction for the status quo.
Yeah. Another aspect, excuse a motorcycle going by where I'm calling you from, I'm outside.
No worries.
It is education as being a primary issue and mm-hmm. discourse with, you know, our youth. And living by example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm done with you, and I'll wish you aloha. Okay.
Aloha to you, and thank you for joining us on Out of the Box. The phone lines are open, 826-7771. That's directly inside here. You'll talk to Dan, and we'll get you on as soon as we can. Or you're off-island, and you're at 866-275-1112. Dan, anybody else on the line there? There we go. Well, let's get you back on and talk story a little bit more. So, you know, you're getting a good day of phone call training, you know, on our shows. You've listened before. You know, we cover a very broad spectrum of conversation. We're talking a little bit about politics. Do you have you'd said earlier when we were offline that you don't really like the Republicans or the Democrats, that you're kind of more independent-minded.
Yeah, going back to, in respect to what the previous caller was talking about, a lot of people feel disenfranchised. I know, being of the younger generation, I know a lot of folks that were a big big supporters of Barack Obama in 2008, and then by 2012, when he had not closed Guantanamo Bay, when he'd expanded the wars, the drone programs, they feel disenfranchised, and a lot of people are of the opinion that if you vote, if you don't vote, you know, you can't grumble. But, you know, the argument of I'm voting for the lesser of two evils is an odd argument. It's an admission that you are voting for a form of evil, And a lot of younger folks are waking up to that. And I think a lot of the one of the reasons that there's so much complacency, going back to an earlier caller, is because young children have a sensory overload. I mean, none of us were born playing with iPods, playing with iPads. And so the whole world is viewed through a screen. And so I think Uncle John's project, community projects, are really the key to energizing the youth to actually do something constructive as opposed to play Angry Birds, for instance.
Yeah, there you go. Well, right on for that. Caller, you are on the air. Still there? Uh-oh. Did I hit you?
I just wanted to rebuttal because all I was saying was, if there is a candidate, it may not be mayor, it may not be president, it's just his own radio host. Felicia. Supporters of Felicia didn't come out and vote. I know that for a fact. I know personal people that don't vote. For whatever the reason is, and even if there's a great candidate that they support. Now, I understand disenfranchised, but I still categorize that as, you know what? If you're not engaged, if you drop out of the game, then you forfeit the game. If it's basketball, football, if you walk off the field on a baseball game, you forfeit the game.
Right, right. And I don't know what's going on with the phone, but maybe if you can change, we're breaking in and out.
How's that? Is that
better? Oh, much better.
And so all I'm saying is that educate better candidates. That's what the whole message. My daughter's already been to D.C. She's only going to 11th grade. She went last year. She's one of the people that has helped convince Tulsi to take a relook at our North Shore reefs. She convinced Tulsi to write that letter to Admiral Harris. So what I'm telling you is that get better candidates, don't become disenfranchised, and vote.
Mm.
I get plenty of reasons why I should drop out of the life game.
Right.
But I don't. In fact, I never was in it. So I'm lucky enough that I am not disenfranchised. But the funny thing is, I'm in it because I am disenfranchised. That's the funny part that the guy is missing, is that I've realized that if we're not engaged, the people that work against us show up.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, because of 100 reasons, whatever they may be, spending from Vietnam to my vote doesn't count, we will lose every time. That's all I'm trying to say.
That's pretty straightforward.
My main message is let's get better candidates from our youth. And the iPod generation comes in handy. They're able to read the Constitution. When you tell them, hey, Google up the U.S. Constitution, they're able to see it and totally do it all right there. Boom, bang, ding.
Right.
And you know what I mean? I have daughters. My daughter got self-propelled off the first line of a citizen is really only a white male property owner. That infuriates a modern millennial teen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's my overall message. And I am a centrist that leans to the left hard, or I could even be called a liberal. But I like to be in the center with more realistic based thoughts. And I tell you the truth. My daughter knows more about the process than many of the disenfranchised that disenfranchise for whatever reason they want.
Mm-hmm.
She's more learned because I forced her to do it. And I'm learning them as she learning them because I was ignorant because I was stuck on class freedom. I was a kid in Kalia. Right? I'm telling you, I get syringes in my eyes from surfing Kalia. But I'm not joking. It's a real story. So that I get actual the solution. The father before me was like, oh, I don't know the answer. I was saying the answer. That's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't show up. There are right now young Republicans that are being trained by the old doctrine, and they show up, and they're millennials.
Right.
Right. And if you're not doing them, then you're out.
Yeah, it's true.
That's what I'm saying. If we're not making our anti new generation boss of guys going to Capitol Hill that we do trust, then I just think that the question originally from the local Broadway at the baby was, what's the solution?
You're right, yeah.
I think I get one working formula. If we added more duplicated in more households, you know, more family households, or even old-timers that know the system but for whatever reason fell out of it from being disenfranchised from past wrongs, hey, maybe now it's another time to look back into it and help the new generation navigate this world.
Make
a collaboration between the generations. There you go.
There we go. And it's about building bridges.
It's about building bridges. So none of my message has been negative.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right? I just want to make sure that nobody takes my message as negative. I was responding to a question of nobody has the answer, but that there is an answer.
And I appreciate that you directly responded to that with a solution. Here's the solution, education.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I got to get going.
Right on. A happy Father's Day to you, brother.
All right.
Appreciate that.
Too.
Aloha. Right on. We got another one holding. Right on. Caller, are you there?
Yes, oh, I am.
All right on. Thank you for joining us on Out of the Box.
Thank you. I'm enjoying the show. I just wanted to, I dropped in about the time you said, what's it going to take to shift?
Mm-hmm.
And my strong belief, and I teach this, is that when we change ourselves, others will change. And when we do that, the world will change.
Mm-hmm.
Looking outside ourselves for change and solutions, it needs to begin with us.
I believe you're correct.
Us. And, you know, many of my students, I watch them and they change by letting go of what doesn't serve them, and they become happier, and then their ohana becomes happier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very positive way to affect the world by changing ourselves first, and, you know, being reconnected with the earth is the other part of that. Recognizing that we are of the earth, born of the earth, we return to the earth, and she's the mother, and when we start respecting that more within ourselves, then things will change very quickly. They are changing.
Yes, they are changing.
So we are. That's my mana'o.
Well, I thank you for sharing your mana'o with us. Appreciate that. The shift is happening.
And yes, it is.
We are part of that shift.
Yes.
That growing consciousness.
Thank you for the conversation.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. We are coming to the end of our show. It's 5:55, 6 o'clock. You will be listening to Evolve Radio with Dove. He's in the house waiting for things to get going. Appreciate Dan joining us. We've got another phone call. Might be the last one, depending on how quick we are able to summarize our thoughts. Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
Myself?
You are you.
All right. Well, I have a wonderful bus story.
Okay.
I think it was kind of shows the Kanaka Maoli perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So the driver and two passengers were talking. The bus driver says they got a new law in Honolulu. And you know how on the bus in the front there are these reserved places for the elderly and the wheelchairs and those with handicaps. So they passed a law in Honolulu, which I don't know how true it is, but it's a first-come, first-serve law.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's sitting in those seats, even if an elderly or handicapped person gets on, they don't have to move. And the three people on the bus, the bus driver and two passengers, thought that was just a terrible law. In other words, just because you have the right, you don't have to be sharing or caring and give your place up at the front of the bus to someone who has difficulty walking to the back, or is an elderly person with a lot of packages, or even the wheelchair. Like, just get the next bus. We've got somebody sitting in the wheelchair position. And
mm-hmm.
these three people who were definitely of Hawaiian ancestry, Kanaka ancestry, they thought that was a terrible law about not sharing and not being mindful of handicapped and elderly.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, wow, what a beautiful story. And the other observation is that I, as someone in my 70s, remember what it was with the atomic bomb, and that, so I'm of that generation that had that kind of like, you got to change the system, you got to turn it upside down. And I think the climate change issue, and from that came that 60s Haight-Ashbury hippie generation that turned the world, at least in the United States, and I guess in general,
mm-hmm.
upside down. And I think the climate change issue is the new revolution, cause for a new revolution among our young millennials, or whatever they choose to be called.
There
but,
you go.
You know, that also means that there's a need to turn the perspectives. And you had the whole civil rights thing, and now we have the definitely the racial issues that are saying this needs to be turned upside down.
Right, right.
So it's interesting how the things have gotten to the pile of, you know, things that are getting, have gotten to the edge. And either you need to change that edge or it's just going to drop off.
Well, you certainly have shared a couple of different, if you will, stories. Your Mana'o is on the money in my book. And I do think that there are a number of things that we are going to be having to confront, whether it's climate change or it's just the way that government is no longer serving the people in the way that it needs to.
Or how we see each
mm-hmm.
other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. And so we are on our way. And thank you for joining us on Out of the Box.
Oh, mahalo, Jimmy. You're great.
Thank
mahalo.
You.